Please open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 2. And one verse is going to be a verse this morning, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." I want to use this verse this morning to teach topically on a sermon that I'm going to simply title, "You Can Beat It." Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor Thee and thank Thee for the mercy that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we now pray, may Thou cleanse this man that is standing behind this holy desk. Grant to him wisdom and understanding, that he may proclaim Thy word as an oracle of God. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of Thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It was a year that the political landscape of our nation was rocked by scandal. The year 1974. The Watergate scandal had forced the then President Richard Nixon to resign from office. But while Washington was still in an uproar, a musical group by the name America was actually sitting comfortably on the top 10 chart with their single titled "Lonely People." And the lyric to the first stanza goes something like this: "This is for all the lonely people thinking the life has passed them by. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup and ride the highway to the sky." These lyrics, I believe, capture one of the often overlooked problems that a growing number of people are struggling with today, the problem of loneliness. Though we are more connected technologically than any other time in human history, yet we are so detached and estranged from one another. And the problem of loneliness is now a common problem in our culture. And this problem is not limited to a particular subgroup of society, but it cuts across every strata of our society, from the young to the old, from the rich to the poor, from the singles to some that are married. Yes, there are in fact married couples that are experiencing loneliness. Even some in our churches, Christians that are struggling with loneliness. Now, this problem, I believe, is just not a problem of social isolation. It is a problem that has given rise to different health risks. According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, social isolation significantly increases a person's risk of premature death, 50% increase in the risk of dementia, 29% increase in the risk of heart disease, and 32% increase in the risk of stroke, depression, anxiety, and suicide. And it goes without saying that the problem of loneliness is much bigger than it appears on the surface. Now, while there are a few therapeutic as well as clinical ways of addressing this problem, this morning I am interested in the Bible. You know, does the Word of God have answer to the problem of loneliness? As Jeremiah the prophet will ask, "Is there balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" This morning, loved ones, I believe that indeed, there is a balm in Gilead, that God's word has a very powerful answer as it relates to the problem of loneliness. And this is what I intend to look at this morning. Now, when you take a quick glance, first of all, through the first couple of chapters in the first book of the Bible, book of Genesis, you will discover that the problem of loneliness is not foreign to the Bible. So let's go to Genesis this morning, chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we are told that the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then we go further in verse 8 to tell that God now planted a garden towards the east in Eden. And there God now placed Adam, whom he had formed. Now this was the only place befitting of the title, Paradise on Earth. It was a place not only perfect in beauty, but also a place of sinless perfection. Adam was flawless. Adam was sinless. And God now placed Adam in this garden, and he told him, he said, verse 15, he said, the Lord took the man and put him into the garden to cultivate it and to keep it. Now, before this time, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the Lord God will say, Bible records that God saw that all that he has made, and behold, it was very good. I want you to pay attention to that phrase, very good. But in the midst of the perfection of this paradise, God actually found something that was amiss, something that was not good. And what was that? Let's look at verse 18 of chapter 2. The Lord God will now say, it is not good for man to be alone. So the first thing we see here was that before the problem of sin, one of the first problems that we have in the midst of this perfection was the issue of loneliness. God looked at Adam and he said, it is not good for Adam to be alone. So the first question we need to ask as Bible students is, no, why was this a problem? God was present. Adam was not alone. Well, I think this is the key right here, everybody. First, since God himself is a relational God, and he created Adam in his own image and likeness, that means he created Adam to be a relational being. Not only for Adam to relate to him as his creator, but for Adam to relate to his peers. But in this garden, Adam had no peer. Who was he going to relate to? He was alone and surrounded by unprecedented beauty. Second, since God is a God who loves to share, and he created Adam in his image and likeness, that means he created Adam to share. But then the question is, who would Adam share things with? What will they share all this beauty with? Nobody. So God had a solution to Adam's loneliness. And the solution was simple. You can find it in that same verse. Companionship. God said, I will make him an helper suitable for him. Now, it's very important to understand this, because God had now formed the animals and placed them in the garden, but none of them was compatible with Adam. So we're told here in verse 21, chapter 2, that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. Then he took one of his rib and closed up the flesh of that place. And the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought out to the man. And when Adam saw someone that was his peer, when Adam saw another creature, a female, Eve, and I truly believe in that perfection, Eve must have been the most beautiful woman no a man can ever see on this face of this earth. And Adam, I believe, full of joy, shouted, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of the man. God solved the problem of Adam's loneliness by companionship. Now, I want you to pay attention to something. As you notice that all this actually transpired before the fall, before Genesis chapter 3. This is very significant because after the fall, everything changes. Now, what are the changes that took place after the fall? Let me give you some few changes. Because of the fall, man became alienated from God. The perfect, number two, the perfect harmony that existed between man and woman was actually destroyed. Number three, the perfect harmony that existed between man and the other creation of God was actually damaged. You know, all these three changes impacted the problem of loneliness as we know it. Let me break it down to you this morning. You know, due to sin, the problem of loneliness will now become amplified because death will now enter into the experience of humanity. In other words, you can love a person for so many years and then death snatches them away. And then you face the problem of loneliness. Again, I want you to pay attention to this. Because of the damage that took place between the perfect harmony of man and woman, the problem of loneliness, again, would become amplified. Why? Because their relationship, the relationship between man and woman, will now be defined by tension, distrust, abuse, and eventually divorce will be a reality. Again, when all these things take place, it further amplifies the problem of social loneliness. And this ultimately can lead to another form of loneliness called emotional loneliness. Because you can actually be in a relationship with a person and you can be emotionally lonely. Why? Because of the situation that is not in harmony in that home. But this is the key also this morning. You know, there is something that actually even happened at the fall. Due to the alienation between God and man, a new dimension, I believe, of loneliness is now introduced. And this has to do with the spiritual disconnection with God. In essence, humans will now feel what I call spiritual loneliness. You know, you must say, what is spiritual loneliness, Pastor Wally? A feeling that life is incomplete and lacks meaning. A vague sense of longing that you cannot say what it is or who you belong to. You know, you find a lot of people going to nowhere, walking around, just purposeless, meaningless life. But I believe at the cross, the Lord Jesus solved the problem of spiritual loneliness. And that problem has to do with embracing the Son of God. And once you have him in your life, that problem is eliminated. Now, I want you to now go back so you can see that all this issue that took place after the fall amplified the problem of loneliness. That is why today it has become commonplace and very complicated in our world. Social isolation, emotional loneliness, spiritual loneliness. But the question this morning that I want to address is this. Is there hope? Is there hope for someone who feels lonely emotionally? Is there hope for someone who feels lonely because of social isolation? Is there hope for somebody who feels lonely this morning? I tender to you, loved ones, there is hope. The Bible that reveals to us this problem also gives us an answer. And what I want to do this morning, loved ones, is to look deep again into the scriptures to harvest for you answers to the problem of loneliness. Now, I need to put an interjection here real quick. Spiritual loneliness must be fixed before you can actually begin to experience what I'm about to say. Watch what I just said to you. You have to be reconciled first through the Lord Jesus Christ back to God before you can begin now to put into play all that I'm going to list out for you as the solution to this problem of loneliness. So let me build this up first. The first thing I believe is the answer to the problem of loneliness is this. You have to stay connected to the vine. You have to stay connected to the vine. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Then he goes further. He said to them, he said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the branch, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Watch what the Lord Jesus is saying there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The emphasis here of the Lord Jesus is that those who belong to him must stay connected to him. They must abide. They must reside. They must have. They must embrace intimacy with him. They must desire to get closer and continue to grow in grace with him. Because apart from the Lord Jesus, you and I cannot do absolutely nothing. Now, how does this now solve the problem of loneliness? What it does is to identify that spiritual problem that comes with loneliness. Because again, at times loneliness comes because some of us lose sight of who we are in Jesus Christ. Some of us lose sight of who we've been called to be. Some of us lose sight of this powerful relationship that exists. We lose sight of where our strength actually proceeds from. So guess what? By embracing intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, the vine, our soul is now nourished. Our soul is now refreshed with spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And this spiritual blessing in heavenly places will now create within us a stream of joy and peace in the midst of life's adversity. That though nobody around you might get you, nobody around you might acknowledge you, but because you are now connected to the vine and you're constantly being fed, and the grace and the mercy of God is constantly flowing into your life, the blessing of God is constantly flowing to your life, that you cannot understand that no matter what is going on around me, it is well with my soul. And then your problem of loneliness will begin to abate, because you know what a friend that I have in Jesus. All my griefs and sins to bear. And this is why it's important to be connected to the vine. But not only that, when we are connected to the vine, the problem of loneliness is neutralized because of the assurance that Jesus gives us. In Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time. Because no matter what you might go through, you can understand that God has said it. The Lord Jesus has said it. Lo, I am with you always, not sometime, always, even until the end of history, even until the end of time. Jesus has promised that. That will ultimately begin to abate the problem of loneliness. What about the peace of God? The peace that surpasses all understanding. The Apostle Paul will remind us, be anxious for nothing, but by prayers and supplications that you make your request known to God. And he said to us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, that peace that God gives us is the peace that we can have even when nobody acknowledges what we have. It's the peace that we can have when we feel alone. It's the peace that we can have that no matter what, I got this joy and peace in my soul because I'm connected to the vine that constantly nourishes and nurtures my soul. The second answer, I believe, that the Bible gives to the problem of loneliness is this. Shift your focus from what you can get to what you can give. Again, watch what I just said. Shift your focus from what you can get to what you can give. Now, let's go back to the text this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, the mother of the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, approached the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to the Lord, he said, command that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine may sit, one to your right and one on your left. And the Lord Jesus asked her, said, do you know what you are asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And guess what? They shook their head and said, yes, we're able. And the Lord Jesus said to them, my cup you shall drink. But to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it's for those to whom it has been prepared by my Father. Now, when this word got to the other disciples, they became indignant. Now, I believe the reason they became indignant was because they coveted that same seat. Because they wanted to also sit on the right and on the left of Jesus. It has become about, you know, who's going to be the first among us? Now, the Lord Jesus sensed this division, and the Lord Jesus called them together and began to instruct them. And this is very interesting because the Lord Jesus began to instruct them about leadership, about servant leadership. And then the Lord Jesus will now use himself as an example. Pay attention to verse 28. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, watch that, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said there. The Lord just said, listen, it is not about getting. It is about giving. You know, while the context here is about servant leadership, I believe from this teaching of the Lord Jesus, we can also discern the antidote to loneliness. Watch this. Loneliness often happens when a person is wrapped up in self. You know, I am not, how am I feeling? You know, I am not accepted. You know, I'm not getting what I want. And the list goes on. Essentially, it is all about me. You know, at times loneliness is the shift. The focus is me. What I'm not getting. You know, they don't like me out there. They don't accept me out there. You know, I am different. And you keep going to I, me. Because the focus is what you want to get. But watch this. Then you shift that focus from the self to others. What you can give. You begin to seek, to begin to invest in others. Volunteer. Become purpose-driven. Find something out of yourself to commit to. Find something to do, to volunteer, to invest in others. You know, what happened by giving to others? You actually take the focus off yourself and do good at the same time, but also it helps you to feel connected and less alone. It helps you to feel connected and less alone because you are doing things that you're invested in others, and the appreciation gives you the strength to continue to do what is right before God. That is acceptable, but also it is helpful for you mentally. It's helpful for you in terms of your mental state. Because then you are able to experience. You are able to experience a connection. Imagine you invest in somebody that don't have much, and you begin to see them grow in grace, and then you begin to connect with them in a very powerful way. And all of a sudden you begin to find that you forget about your own self, and the focus becomes on doing what is ultimately beneficial to that person, glorifying to God. And healthy for you. The third thing, loved one, is this morning. You must be intentionally engaging. For you to overcome loneliness, you must be intentionally engaging. You know, one thing was obvious in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. our Lord Jesus was intentionally engaging. Look at the story of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus was intentionally engaging. The Lord Jesus didn't wait for the woman to speak. He spoke to her. Look at the story of the paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda. The Lord Jesus didn't wait for the man to ask for help. The Lord Jesus went to him and said, "Do you want to be healed?" Watch that intentionality. You know, while we see that such encounter was for the purpose of spreading the good news, but one thing comes out in this approach of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of intentional engagement. Again, watch what I just said. It's the power of intentional engagement. One thing about loners, and I want you to watch, those people who just love to be alone, is that they intentionally disengage from everyone. They intentionally disengage from everything. And they just stay by themselves. They want to be a loner. But this is the key. For you to be able to overcome loneliness, you must have to step out of your comfort zone. You must have to become intentionally engaged with people. Yes, I know that people at times can be mean. Yes, I know that people at times can betray you. Yes, I know that people at times can be malicious in what they say about you. But don't worry about that. You are seeking to build yourself in such a way that you will begin to feel connected. Out of 10, you might have 7 that are great. People that you can intentionally engage with. You know, engaging with people face-to-face in social interaction tend to improve mood and reduce depression. You know, get in activities. We got activities in this church. Small groups. Get into a small group setting. Engage with other people. Let them talk. You know, let them associate with them. See what's going on. Sit in their meetings. You know, be engaging, intentionally engaging. You know, engage yourself in sports if you can. You know, volunteer to be a referee for a little league. You know, be engaging. Do something for your mental health. And this is what we find also, that a growing body of research suggest that even similar trivial interaction with strangers, like chatting with a stranger or a cashier, may be able to keep loneliness at bay by helping us to feel socially connected. So guess what? Reach out to another human being today. You know, say hello. Ask them how they're doing. Chat about what's on your mind. You know, just make that eye contact. How you doing? You know, nothing wrong with that. They look at you like, what you want? Yeah, how you doing? And you know what? That little greeting can actually break the ice. You know, those little acts make a big difference and helps us to reduce this feeling of loneliness. Listen to me this morning. You can beat it. You can be a person that defeats loneliness. But I want you to pay attention to those three things, because embedded in those three things are God's power to help you to be the man of God that you need to be, the woman of God. Remember this. Loneliness itself is not a sin, but it's what you do with that loneliness that the devil can use to make it sinful. You and I got to understand how to defeat loneliness so that we can be a vessel in the hands of the Master. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor and thank thee for the mercy of this morning, that we can gather in this place to study, to show ourselves approved unto thee. Father, may thou now bless our prayer this time that thy word is declared, and I'll commit the declaration of thy word into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.